The name of the disease that America is dying from is godlessness.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Next on Truths That Transform, the left is putting your freedom on the chopping block.
They want to use the power of the state as a club to enforce their conformity on society.
They particularly want to silence Christians when it comes to sex and gender issues.
Activists are trying to get states or even counties to make it illegal for minors, so teenagers basically, to seek out therapy if they have unwanted homosexual attractions.
We'll take you to the front lines of the battle and show you what you can do about it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We are in the midst of a cultural crisis. In the past handful of years, we've seen the U.S. Supreme Court attempt to redefine God's first institution, marriage. And our cultural elites on the left are now redefining what it means to be male and female and punishing those who disagree. On today's program, you'll discover what's driving this agenda, and we'll share some key resources with you to help you respond to all of this insanity with the truth. As we begin, some leaders in our culture are trying to implement legal bans on so-called conversion therapy when it comes to homosexuality. Is a person born gay? Can they never change, even if they want to? And should it be illegal to help them try? Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes a closer look.
There are thousands of individuals who have been freed by the power of Jesus Christ from homosexuality throughout the United States, both men and women. They have been either freed because of their relationship with Jesus and they've been discipled by the church. They have been freed through ministry with Restored Hope Network. And what we get the exciting job of doing is walking alongside of them as they are overcoming those struggles and working through all the relational issues that accompany it.
But compassionately helping those who want out of the homosexual lifestyle has now been banned, especially for minors. That's happened in 17 states across the country and in several communities and counties in what is known as a conversion therapy ban.
Activists are trying to get states or even counties to make it illegal for minors, so teenagers basically, to seek out therapy if they have unwanted homosexual attractions. If you're a teenager and you have homosexual attractions, even if you don't want those attractions, even if you want to pursue a different life for yourself, you're not allowed to seek therapy for that. They're trying to make it illegal. It's a tragic and unspeakable thing. What the activists have done is they have painted a completely inaccurate picture by saying that there's something called conversion therapy and it's dangerous.
If the radical LGBTQ activists get their way, then would it be illegal for someone who lived as a homosexual or lesbian to even come to faith in Jesus Christ? What about all those who have changed out of the gay life, like Stephen Black of First Stone Ministries?
I lived as a gay man in my most formative years of development from age 14 to 22. And then I met Jesus Christ in a very radical way in a little mobile home in Nakoma Park, Oklahoma, where these people were talking about Jesus in ways I had never heard. I got down on my knees that night and I said, God, I don't know how to change. But if you'll change me, I'll change. I see ministry throughout the United States, and they don't like the idea that people can change because that touches on the immutability issue. The reality is that people are finding lasting freedom.
What has been well publicized is that back in 2013, Exodus International of Orlando, a consortium of ex-gay ministries, imploded. It turns out it was the leadership of that group, but not the thousands of members who came to disagree with the ex-gay movement.
When Exodus imploded, we had this idea that 99.9% of people don't change. And so that has also fueled this cultural message in the United States that this is a harmful thing to do this type of ministry.
Stephen Black tested his ministry results. Did people really change in their orientation if they were homosexual or lesbian? He found a very high percentage actually did change, and over the long term.
Pastoral care is what I do. And so we had 1,200 client folders upstairs. And after the implosion of Exodus, I thought, where are all these people? What really is the numbers in our local ministry? We were able to contact 500, and out of the 500, 185 filled out the survey. And the bottom result of the survey is more than 70% go on living a life free from a label, a life surrendered to Jesus Christ. And so this idea of conversion or aversion, they'll also use this word, painting this picture that we're harming people is absolutely the antithesis of what we're about, the opposite. People don't want to even testify because of the backlash that comes. And so a lot of people, they'll go through our ministries and they do actually find lasting freedom.
There's a lot of misperception, so it's important to note that a therapist cannot help someone who's been forced into therapy. Therapy is voluntary. The message that activists have spread, that people are born homosexual, that they can't change, that change is harmful, these are lies, and these lies hurt people that want help. They hurt people that don't want to be gay. They hurt people that are feeling self-hatred and feeling hopeless about their life situation.
It's amazing and rather hypocritical that the very same radical activists who want to tell you that sexual orientation is immutable also claim that gender is fluid, with some claiming to be male today, female tomorrow, and any of 100 other varieties the next day. But that's because this is not about logic. Not about science or even compassion at all. It's about distorting the image of God. I'm joined now by the daughter of Dr. D. James Kennedy, my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad looked right past all the symptoms at the real root causes here, didn't he?
That's right, Frank. And it's because he knew God's word, and as a result, he understood how sin works. My dad used to always note that if you started with the wrong diagnosis, you'll certainly end up with the wrong treatment. And that is exactly what has happened to America. We suffer because we have rejected God and His commandments and are instead trying to recreate His world according to our own sinful desires. We want to cast off His rules that He gave us for our own good and write new rules for ourselves. But we don't realize that the only thing broken when we break the Ten Commandments is ourselves. We can't rewrite God's fundamental rules for the world any more than we can wish away the law of gravity. What my dad said years ago is just as true today as it was then. Here's a portion of his message, The Disease of Godlessness.
Woodrow Wilson said, Americans no longer remember what we were, and therefore they do not know what we are. And consequently, they do not know what we are trying to do. I'm afraid as a nation we have experienced collective historical amnesia directed specifically at Christianity. Indeed, if Uncle Sam, the personification of our country, came before a physician today, I'm afraid that the diagnosis would be very serious. It might even be terminal. America is sick. dangerously ill. Uncle Sam is sick in the head because he has been taught lies, and he does not know where he came from, how he was brought up, or why he is here. He is sick in the stomach because he has been consuming a diet of pornography, vileness, trash, evil of every kind, ungodly philosophies, blasphemy, profanity, every manner of evil. He is sick in his hands because they seem compelled to commit an unprecedented number of robberies and rapes and murders. He's sick in his heart, and it is a sickness unto death unless something is done, because his passions are turned away from God unto all manner of carnal lusts. Well, let me say, the name of the disease that America is dying from is godlessness. A godless elite have taken over virtually every major institution of this country, and they are perverting, distorting, and poisoning the body politic, the whole nature of our country. The problem is one of godlessness, of unrighteousness, of immorality of every kind. Well, what is the cure? There's no cure for godlessness except God. We have allowed to rise up around us a whole nation of people that not only know not Joseph, as the scripture says, but know not Jesus, and who don't know the Savior because we have not shared with them the gospel. Ah, dear friends, to my dying breath, I will be urging you to share the good news of Christ with others. It is the responsibility of everybody who claims to be a follower of Jesus. Have you been doing that? Did you do it this week? Did you do it this year that's passed? Have you even bothered to invite somebody to church? Do you realize that just by inviting people to church, you could change this country? That they might hear the gospel and their hearts could be changed? That's what it's all about. I believe that we can see an enormous change for the better in this nation if we will become faithful to what God has told us to do. Ah, dear one, may we begin today to determine that we are going to be salt in a corrupting body politic, that we are going to bring the light of the gospel into the darkness of a lost world, that the good news of Jesus Christ may ring out again, and the tidings of salvation and eternal life will become the blessed possession and privilege and joy of people throughout this nation. And this country will change. And the patient will get well. May it be. And may it begin with you.
As you've just heard from Dr. Kennedy, it has never been more important to be bold in sharing Christ as we seek the transformation of America. There are those who are working overtime to make that difficult to do. Unfortunately, the transgender and homosexual agenda seem to go hand in hand with coercion and the suppression of religious freedom. The House of Representatives has passed a bill that would further stifle Christian dissent. Our own John Rabe recently sat down with Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, to talk about it.
The Equality Act is a bill that's before Congress right now that would amend the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include things like transgenderism and same-sex orientation. A lot of people think, well, that sounds good. We're just protecting people. Why is that particularly dangerous and dangerous to Christians?
Well, the same thing that was dangerous about many of us knew that once the Marriage Act was upheld by the Supreme Court. It had nothing to do with the Constitution, according to Chief Justice Roberts, but five lawyers imposing their opinion. Once that happened, that made the Colorado Baker and all the other things happen. You know, human beings are two sexes, and you've either got the chromosomes of a male or the chromosomes of a female, and to deny that is to deny basic reality. And to put people who have what used to be called and should be called gender dysphoria under a protected class, and to say that if you discriminate, if you say no, that you're not a different sex than you were born, that you are discriminating, and we're going to open up all the restrooms and all the other facilities to be in a protected status for this, it's insanity. It's legal insanity.
It seems like, Dr. Land, one of the phenomena that we often see on the left is that they claim that they're only going this far, when what we realize is that they really have an agenda that takes them much farther. We've seen that with same-sex marriage. No. This is not, we're not forcing anything on anyone. We just want people to be able to have rights. Transgender, we're not forcing anything on anyone. Ultimately, I remember the late Charles Krauthammer said, liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. Ultimately, there is no stopping at just one small group. They want to control everything, and they want to control the Christian reaction to everything, don't they?
They want to control speech. They're acting like fascists on campus and censors. They want conformity to their viewpoint, and they want to ostracize people who disagree with their viewpoint to the level of Klansmen. They want to turn us into the ostracized equivalent of Ku Klux Klansmen. And they want to, they don't believe in diversity of thought. They don't believe in diversity of speech. They want to use the power of the state as a club to enforce their conformity on society.
That tells me as well, though, that they really do see Christians and biblical truth as being a real obstacle to their agenda. I think they do see it as a threat, and maybe properly so, because truth is the solution here, isn't it?
Well, the left and those who are statists and those who are wanting power and wanting to enforce conformity will always, always understand that their ultimate opposition are Christians, because Christians are not going to give ultimate power to the state. We render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. That means that our ultimate allegiance is to God, not the state. And that is a direct threat to these statists and these fascists.
You're an educator, the seminary president, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. Tell me about what you see happening on the college campuses in this country when it comes to free speech, in particular conservative and religious speech.
Well, it's just rank censorship. It's the mobocracy. It's the heckler's veto. They don't believe in free speech, and their professors have told them not to believe in free speech. They believe that free speech that is contrary to their view is hate speech, and that free speech does not protect hate speech. When I was growing up, I was always taught and always believed, look, I disagree with everything Madeleine Murray O'Hare believes, and I defend to the death her right to say it. As my parents, when I was a little boy, we'd be sitting down to eat, and somebody'd show up from the Jehovah's Witnesses, knocking on the door. And I said, Mom, how come we can't have the government stop that? And she said, Son, if they can keep the Jehovah's Witnesses from doing something today, they can stop the Baptists from doing it tomorrow. So, that's just weird and unusual thought on a college campus today. They want to enforce conformity. They do not want to hear viewpoints. They want to stifle viewpoints that they disagree with. They're acting like fascist black shirts.
And there are, as you allude to, there are a fair number of academics and fair number of legal academicians on the left who explicitly say that quote unquote hate speech is not covered by the First Amendment.
That's right.
And that gives enormous power to those who sort of have the cultural currency to define what hate is in our culture.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, one person's hate speech is another person's speech of conviction. So what you have the people from the Woodstock generation, which is my generation, they're now the senior faculty, and they've taught the junior faculty, and they've taught the students their leftist view of the world, which is a statist view and a view that wants to literally outlaw and ostracize the beliefs that upon which this country was founded.
Dr. Land, your passionate clarity is always refreshing. Thank you so much for joining us, as always.
Always a delight to be with you.
As you just heard from Richard Land, we are facing legal insanity in this nation as radical elitists on the left become more and more coercive. Can you imagine anyone who refuses to allow men dressed as women into the public ladies' room could be treated under the law as if they were turning fire hoses on children with brown skin to keep them out of school? The so-called Equality Act, which could do just that, has already passed the U.S. House of Representatives. For years, the far left has been hammering away at the First Amendment, and this would be its undoing, tossing free exercise of religion out the window in favor of a totalitarian regime of LGBT orthodoxy. My friend, we do not intend to stand by and let that happen. We have put together a letter of demand to your U.S. senators calling upon them to stop this blatantly unconstitutional law in its tracks. Contact us right away to get your letter of demand, sign it, and return it to us as quickly as possible so that we can join your voice together with thousands of others and get results from our elected representatives on this vital issue. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation when you contact us to help us continue this vital work of shining the light of biblical truth on key issues like this, we have a gift we'd like to thank you with. It's the book Demanding Tolerance, Losing Our Freedom to Disagree by John Ayman. The banner held up by so many when it comes to issues of sex and gender is tolerance. Yet the radicals pushing this agenda are as intolerant as can be. Discover the truth and how to provide biblical answers to those who call our Christian beliefs outdated and intolerant. I'll send you Demanding Tolerance as my thanks for your generous donation. And if you are able to include a donation of $40 or more, we will send you the book plus the new DVD program, Discerning Good and Evil, featuring an insightful full-length message from Dr. D. James Kennedy, as well as interviews with key Christian experts on the front lines of the battle between biblical faithfulness and political correctness. That's the book, Demanding Tolerance, as well as the special DVD program, Discerning Good and Evil, as our thanks for your donation of just $40 or more. And whatever you do, please make sure to contact us to get your letter of demand for your U.S. senators, calling upon them to soundly defeat the radically unconstitutional Equality Act. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 877 877- 962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. As we have seen in recent years, the state, aided and abetted by radical elites on the left, have become ever more coercive on issues of sex and gender. Businesses are punished for declining to participate in same-sex weddings. Students are punished and teachers fired in various places for the crime of misgendering. That is, referring to someone by their biological sex rather than their chosen gender of the moment. In truth, all of these attempts to silence dissent and enforce conformity to a new sexual orthodoxy reflect a deep-seated sense of guilt, as if one voice speaking the truth could threaten the whole project. But it doesn't work. Despite the draconian rules put in place to suppress dissent and enforce acceptance and celebration even, transgender people still have a suicide rate 10 times higher than other groups. Because we can't make guilt disappear by shutting people up. The Bible describes it this way: they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. This is true of all people. We know in our hearts that we have done what is evil in God's eyes. We cannot escape that guilt through gag orders and positive thinking. We can only escape that guilt through the repentance and faith that comes through Jesus Christ, who paid the full penalty on the cross for the sins of all who would believe in Him. As Jesus Himself tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." Dear friends, won't you do that today if you haven't already? And if so, I have a special book I would like to send you at no cost to you. It's called Beginning Again, by Dr. D. James Kennedy, who wrote it to help new believers grow in their faith. To receive your copy of Beginning Again, just write to our address or call our toll-free number. And may God bless you as you do. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The Southern Poverty Law Center has become the enemy of free speech and civil rights and civil liberties.
The Southern Poverty Law Center is irresponsible and reckless, and frankly, it results in putting people's lives in danger.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.